On this episode of Sell TV, I interview Del Bigtree. He is the producer of the documentary Vaxxed. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Look, it is not an anti-vaccine movie, but it is about the cover-up of the CDC. The very study that pediatricians hold on to say that vaccines are not linked to autism is the very study that has been covered up and falsified. Wait till you hear the story. Wait till you hear what's happening after Vax. And wait till you hear this. Do you realize drug companies should not do safety studies because it actually puts them more at risk? Wait till you hear that. It's hard to believe, but it's actually true. Look, you're going to hear facts and things in this episode that will make your jaw drop. I get angry during this episode. This is an episode that you absolutely are going to want to share with a lot of people because I'm telling you, I could get mad right now thinking about it. This is ruining lives. People need to know this information. It's a cover-up. The facts tell the story. Wait till you hear Del release these facts. He gets emotional and you can see why. So stay tuned. Welcome to Sell TV. Dr. Pompa here with one of my favorite people in the whole world, Del Bigtree. And I have to tell you, this is actually the second time we recorded this. And after you watch this show, you're going to understand why, out of 4 years of doing this show, that was the first time a show hasn't recorded. But you'll understand why that is, because the enemy is at work. He doesn't want you to hear this information. And that's, I believe that's how important this information is. And Del is the producer of Vaxxed. And, you know, I would put you up there as one of the heroes in the vaccine movement. And I don't want to say anti-vaccine movement, Del. And by the way, thank you for being here. And that is my first question. As I said, that you are the producer of Vaxxed. Many of our viewers probably haven't seen Vaxxed. Many have, I would say. But let's talk a little bit about that documentary. Then we'll talk also about what's been happening after Vaxxed. So it's been a while since Vaxxed is produced, hasn't it? When was it first put out, Del?
We put Vaxxed out in April of 2016. So it's been more than 2 years now. Since the film released, of course, the whole story is about a whistleblower from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention named Dr. William Thompson, who came forward in the, I think the spring really of 2015, and said that they were committing scientific fraud at the CDC. And especially the movie focuses on the MMR autism study and looking at, does the MMR vaccine cause autism? What Dr. Thompson tells us is they saw a connection between that vaccine and autism, and they spent 4 years scrubbing and washing and trying to manipulate that study and committing scientific fraud by throwing half the kids off the study, all in order to hide the fact that they believe they were seeing that the MMR vaccine does indeed cause autism.
Well, look, this movie or the documentary has been pinned as an anti-vaccine movie. Would you call it an anti-vaccine documentary?
No, I think, in fact, you know, I can even quote Senator Ben Allen in California, who was one of the co-authors of SB 277, which was the mandatory vaccine bill that took away parents' right to choose what's injected into their children in order to go to school. And he saw the film, and I spoke with him in public. It was actually videotaped, but he said, you know, I watched your film, Del, and I was surprised to find that it was not actually anti-vaccine. So there you have it. From a guy that was supporting, you know, probably the most draconian vaccine bill of all time, said, Del, your film's not an anti-vaccine movie. But you have to see it to understand that. I mean, I'm a medical journalist. You know, I think people forget that I was a producer on the daytime talk show, The Doctors, for 6 years. I won an Emmy Award celebrating medicine, celebrating the best doctors in the world. I would go and scrub in with, you know, to ORs and shoot surgeries, you know, by the hundreds. I've watched the best of the best do their job, and I've celebrated it. And I'm a fan of great medicine. I'm a fan of great science. But I'm also an advocate for people. And I think that you know, people are being confused by the fact that the advertising agencies for the pharmaceutical industry are labeling everybody that questions vaccine an anti-vaxxer. It's all a part of, let's group them all into one ugly name, and then maybe we can put them on railroad cars and ship them off somewhere. I mean, it's that sort of mentality. Yeah. But the truth is this is a diverse group of people, and me being somewhere in the spectrum that's very, very much my own. But what I am is an advocate, just like any product. Just, we think about Ralph Nader and all the work he did to get seatbelts in cars and make things safer and make cribs safer and make, all the foods and products and things we use safer. That's what I'm involved in with vaccines, because my investigation has shown that our vaccines are not going through proper safety studies. They are not using the scientific method to determine safety in all of the childhood vaccines that we give our kids. So where drugs get years and years of double-blind, inert, placebo-based studies where you compare the group getting this experimental new drug with a group that is getting a sugar pill or a saline injection, that is not happening in vaccines. And I was shocked to find that out as a medical producer. And so that's what I'm reporting on. I just want safer vaccines for everybody that wants them.
Well, what brought you? I mean, I want to talk about that research, because that's a really, really important point. But before we get there, what made you? I mean, you were a producer on Doctors. What switched you over? Because, I mean, listen, on that show, that was a pro-vaccine show. So therefore, being the producer of that show, I would have said that you were pro-vaccine. What turned you?
Well, first of all, there's 7 producers on the show. Just to be clear, I wasn't the executive producer of the show. I produced 1 episode every week, and so did the other 6, and then we, fill a whole year worth of shows. But you're right. The show was pro-vaccine, and I support, look, I enjoyed working on that show. I supported the perspective of the show. We don't all totally agree, and I was also, I was the producer doing more of the controversial stories. So when, for instance, Monsanto's product glyphosate that's in Roundup that's sprayed over all of our food. Right. So when the World Health Organization ruled that that was probably carcinogenic to humans, I decided to do a show about that. And I asked if Monsanto wanted to send anybody to, defend their product. And they said yes. And so then I brought in Jeffrey Smith, a GMO activist, and had them sort of debate it on television. So I would say that put me outside of your sort of normal spectrum of producers. I have always done stories that look at billion-dollar industries that are caught all the time as red-handed hurting citizens or polluting water or lying about a product or a cover-up of a dangerous element in a product. Those stories, I've never shied away from those. So I will say, because of that, I have never bought hook, line, and sinker anything that comes from the pharmaceutical industry. I was aware that we've cured polio, we've cured smallpox, and I saw the benefits of vaccines. But between you and I, working on the Doctors television show, we would get hundreds of parents of autistic children writing into the show saying, "Why won't you tell our story? Our children were injured by vaccines." And when you read these stories, and I even reached out and talked to a few of these parents, it became very clear that they were not crazy. And the numbers were so astronomical that I always held out skepticism on both sides, on both sides. And so that's what a journalist does.
Yeah, no doubt about it. One of the things that I remember, about Vaxxed is the pediatrician that was held up on the show, young, really bright pediatrician. You talked in the beginning to him and he held his respect for the CDC. And when you asked him some point questions, he said, "Well, how would I not believe the CDC or trust the CDC? Because, I mean, my gosh, you could tell he had the utmost respect for the CDC." And you said, "Would you look at the research if I brought it to you?" And he said, "I would." And then I love that later in the show, he actually looked at the research and you tell the story, but he changed his tune. Put it this way, at least he was shocked that there was another side to this and to find out that the CDC was in fact covering something up. And really that's the point of Vax. So kind of tell the both of those stories, because that was the whole point of the Vax documentary.
Right. Well, I mean, so Jim Sears is, he was on the Doctors television show. I would say he's probably the most famous pediatrician in the country. And because I'd worked with him, I'd already left the show, The Doctors, because I knew that it was, you know, the film I was working on was going to not line up with their perspective. And honestly, the show was so good to me. I didn't want to see them come under fire that some, and I knew what was going to happen. I mean, I'd already studied the history when right. getting involved with it. As soon as I was going to be making a movie about vaccines, I could pretty much assume that my, you know, my television career was going to take a hit. That right. didn't really matter when you're going to tell, you know, for me, it's all about truth. And I think where there's truth, you know, I have a duty and obligation as a journalist, as a member of the fourth estate or fourth branch of government, as Jefferson, you know, spoke about it, that if we don't do our job as journalists, then this country will not have a democracy. We won't have truth. We won't know what's going on. So I left, but Jim Sears, I reached out to him. And I said, Jim, this is a very important story, and I know it's controversial, but if you would just look at it, could I just shoot you on video camera looking at the facts and the proof that's been handed to me, what I'm sitting on, and then have your honest reaction? And if you think I'm lying, you think this is not true or anything like that, then certainly you can say that on camera. Right. And I will tell you, once he – hold on, phones. Once he wrecked over everything, the emotions inside of him, you know, and he was nervous about doing the interview at that point because he knew what was going on with him. And I said, look, can we tape this interview? And you never do this, by the way. You know, if you're going to videotape someone, you get them to sign off ahead of time. Yeah. But it was so important to me. I said, can we get your honest reaction right now? And when I'm done editing the film, you decide whether you think it puts you in a bad light or not. And so he really emotionally comes clean about what his experience was looking at. It's heavy for him. And the same happened with Dr. Rachel Ross, with the other doctor from the show that I showed the evidence to. But in the end, to his credit, you know, months later, I sat down. It was a nervous moment because, as you know, that's a very climactic part of the film.
It is.
And I walked in and said, Jim, here's the film. And it's up to you to decide. You know, I get it. I get how dangerous and scary this is. And yeah. To his credit, he watched it and he said, it's important. And, you know, and I only had that opportunity because he trusted me for 6 years.
Right.
We swam with sharks together, you know, on the yeah. show. We've done everything, you know. So,
yeah,
but it's a powerful movie. And it's so powerful to see the real life stories in it, to see real medical doctors, great scientists. You know, I will say that the most shocking thing about the film for me is I knew the, you know, what we were trying to do, and you're working really hard, you're in an edit bay. When we finished that film, I was in tears. I just thought, who made that movie? I couldn't imagine that any of us had made that movie. I looked around the room of the editors and the those of us directing it and said, this is better and bigger and more important than all of us. Something special has happened here. And the testimony of that is the doctors, actually. I think the people it affects the most are doctors and scientists and nurses who will sometimes come up to me before a screening yelling at me, calling me dangerous, and I'm going to get children killed. And I always say to them, I'm just thankful that you're here to see this. And they'll say, I'm just here doing research, which I wish a lot more doctors yeah. would just take on that outlook, at least try to see what we're saying so you can refute it. And every time that's happened, Daniel, that doctor or that nurse comes out of the theater in tears,
yeah.
shaking. I have never had them come out and say, I knew you were lying. They come out shaking and crying and saying, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And that's where it's doing something that I don't even understand. It's speaking to the medical body. Maybe it's when you hear these scientists speaking their truth, a real scientist knows when they're hearing from a real scientist. Maybe that's what's so convincing. I don't really know. But the movie is extremely effective. And that is why we got kicked out of Tribeca Film Festival. We've been banned from festivals all over the yep. country. We get kicked out of theaters. There's bomb threats in Australia and different theaters. And, you know, it's because they know how incredibly dangerous this truth is to their story.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you talk to, I always say to people, look, pediatricians, if they only knew the information, they wouldn't hold the same view. And in the movie proved that. Talk a little bit about William Thompson, because those who haven't seen the film, you know, we said it's not an anti-vaccine movie. What do we actually mean? This is about a cover-up directly linked to the CDC. Talk about that.
Yeah. So, you know, you really only have, I mean, there's a handful of scientists at the CDC. So when people say that you're a conspiracy theorist, you're saying that doctors all over the world are a part of this giant conspiracy to poison children. That's not true. Yeah. Really, it all comes down to, in this case, five scientists that work at the CDC. And Dr. William Thompson was the numbers cruncher. He was the statistician who was the most, he's the most important part of the whole study. They were taking data from 3,000 kids in Atlanta. 700 of them or so had autism and the others did not. And they were comparing them with their birth records and their vaccine records and trying to see the hypothesis that was being tested was, is the earlier you receive the MMR vaccine making you more prone to have autism? It was a timing study, and that's exactly what he discovered. They had a huge African-American population in their study group because they're in Atlanta. So the first thing he asked is, he put in the computer model, you know, what happens if I graph boys and girls, African-American boys and girls who received the vaccine on the CDC schedule between 12 and 18 months, and those that got autism, those that did not, and then I graph those that received the vaccine after 3 years old, so waiting a year and a half, you know, and graph them out and those that had autism. And what he found was you were 3.5 times more likely, 350% more likely to develop autism if you got the vaccine on the CDC schedule versus those that had waited till after 3 years old. And the study just went on and on. It got worse and worse. Then he looked at black boys, and we know that that autism is more prevalent in boys. And sure enough, that number went up again. It was 2.64 times more likely for boys and girls who are African American, and 3.56 times more likely for the African American boys. And then when you looked at, you know, all of the healthy children that had no, you know, previous comorbidities like blindness or seizures or epilepsy, you know, any of these things that, you know, would say, well, they were already sick. When they took the perfectly healthy population of that group, all races, they found that if you were perfectly healthy, you were 7 times more likely to develop autism if you got the vaccine on time versus if you waited after 3 years old. So all they really, you know, from the very beginning, they should have at least delayed that vaccine until after 3 years old from what they saw, and then started working on a better vaccine. None of that happened. Instead, they lied to the public and hid the whole thing. And the point being, Thompson is the last guy in the world you would ever want to come out against this, because he's sort of like the bookkeeper for the mob when you're going to try and go after the mob for tax evasion. He has all the numbers. Thompson had all of the data. So the other four scientists that were sort of watching and letting him do all the work and advising, he was sitting on all of the data and all the information. So when they had a meeting in 2003 going into 2004 saying we need to destroy all of the proof of the manipulation, the study we've done, all of the data, they brought a big garbage can in and started destroying hard drives and hard copies and everything. Thompson, luckily, you know, kept copies of everything.
That was the
safe.
Point, though. I mean, so they were driven to do the study to show that there was no link, really, of vaccines and autism. And here it showed that there was. And the meeting actually went down where they actually made the decision that we've got to destroy the evidence. Right. I mean, it's hard for people even to believe that that actually took place, there in Atlanta, Georgia. Simpsonwood, wasn't it? I mean, that's kind of where it all happened.
You know, Simpsonwood's a separate issue but very much the same thing, where a bunch of scientists got together. They were seeing thimerosal connections with autism, and they spent days behind closed doors erasing that effect. You know, obviously, this is information. I don't want to be here, Daniel. I don't want this to be true. I don't get off on horrific stories of governmental abuse that could be leading to the maiming, really, of countless children in America and around the world. It just, you know, that happens to be the story as I found it and as I pursued it.
Right.
But you can understand the human nature. What I want to say is it's really easy to sort of write something like this off because you go, they would never do that. But think about it. The primary job of the CDC and these five scientists is they saw it because the CDC's number one job is to stop infectious disease, to try and eradicate infectious disease in this country. And that's a totally noble cause. And the way that they believe you best do that is with vaccination.
Correct.
Now imagine you hand this same group of people that promote vaccines all over the country, they host events to say, come on out and get vaccinated. CDC believes in vaccines. We need you vaccinating. You give that same group the job to test for safety. That's a huge conflict of interest, which we discover in this study. Now, these five scientists sit down. They see what looks like, you know, 2-3% increase is bad, but you can imagine they think to themselves, if we tell the public, if we are transparent with this study, there will be people, thousands, many, countless, we don't know how many people could stop vaccinating if they get this, if this, this study, if they hear the truth.
Right.
And so then they have a discussion. What is more important, that we protect this small percentage of African-American children, maybe some others, or is it more important to protect all the children by just coming out and saying the vaccine's safe so that everybody continues to vaccinate? So right there, you can understand the human dilemma, and you can understand how good scientists under pressure from a lot of different places can make really, you know, decisions. And that's what I think has happened.
Yeah. So Thompson then, I mean, okay, so he is charged to change the study. They come in and they're killing all the files. What happens? Because he took some files knowing that this may be needed someday, right? So he doesn't destroy certain files. Tell that part of the story. And I would have to ask the question, like, why his career on the line, his neck on the line, what made him come forth and say, we falsified the documents? Because that's what they told him to do. Change the numbers. That's what they told him to do.
Yeah.
And he did change the numbers, only to come out later and say, I changed the numbers.
Right. Well, to be honest, he never said I changed them. He said we changed them. Like, they were all a part of discussing the numbers, just so that to make that clear. And look, I'll be honest with you. There's people, you know, and you called it, you know, the vaccine movement. I call it the vaccine risk awareness movement. What our movement is about is pointing out that there is actual vaccine risk.
Right.
There are children that will die this year from vaccines. There are children that will have their you know, a neurological event that will leave them handicapped for life. Mm-hmm. That will happen as a point of fact. So what our movement is about is expressing that we want better data. We want to see those numbers coming down. We want to know what those numbers really are. We don't want to just guess at it, which is all the CDC is doing. We want real accountability on the actual dangers of vaccines. And we want people to know, because parents are making a choice, that it's their choice to make, that you could kill your child today if you give them these vaccines. Now, what is the probability? We're not sure. It's hopefully small, but that risk is there. So that's what we're part of. So what Thompson, you know, my point being that people in this movement, there are those that are really angry with Thompson, that he sat on this information for 10 years. Some will say he's not brave. He's not bold. Why did he wait 10 years to come forward? You know, so I just want to point out that, again, these are real human beings really trying to deal. And I'm sure he tried to justify what they had done. He obviously held on to this material because it bothered him enough that he thought, someday maybe I will tell the truth on this.
Right.
And then it just boiled up to a point. And I think, you know, he tells a personal story that he was at a meeting where someone was talking about the pain of dealing with their child with autism and how difficult it was, and it just made him snap. He just thought, we caused this. We are causing this. This poor father would not be experiencing this. I wouldn't be listening to this story had we done our job at the CDC. And that's when he started making phone calls to another scientist, Dr. Brian Hooker, who started recording those phone calls as he was confessing this corruption. And this is bigger than Watergate. I mean, this is as big as it gets. This is a government agency that colluded essentially with the pharmaceutical industry to hide the dangers of a vaccine that has over in, and during that time period of these vaccinations, we have watched autism climb from 1 in 10,000 children to now they're saying it may be as high as 1 in 36. That is, I mean, the fact that this isn't one of our biggest ongoing news stories, I think points out how much our media is controlled. Sure. Why aren't they talking about that? Whether or not you think it's vaccines, why aren't we should be testing our food, our water, our air, everything? Because a disease like this it's not, it can't be genetic if it's exploded over two or three decades. That's impossible. Evolution doesn't work that fast. So we clearly have an environmentally destructive, you know, element out there that is destroying the lives of so many kids. We will not be able to afford it. Our insurance system cannot afford one in 36 children to have autism. That's going to cost $5 million apiece. We're talking millions and millions of people with autism in the next 20 or 30 years, and each one of them costs $5 million in services. That's trillions, if you do the math. Trillions of dollars we're going to go into debt to one disease. And ask yourself, why is nobody talking about that?
Yeah, I mean, this should be the headline news. I mean, this, the guy from the CDC, you know, admits that right. they fudged the numbers to make it look like vaccines don't cause autism, and in fact, they do. And by the way, most of the pediatricians, this is the study they hold up, saying that it's been proven that vaccines, in fact, do not cause autism, because they have no idea that the numbers were fudged. So, I mean, with that said, I mean, you'd think he'd be before Congress. Obviously, I would think he'd be before the media. Has he been?
No. I mean, so we, I mean, and when people ask, is your film anti-vaccine? We have a list of sort of demands at the end of our film. One of them simply to have Congress subpoena Dr. William Thompson in an open setting where the world can watch what he has to say. We would like to see Julie Gerberding and Colleen Boyle and Frank DiStefano, the other scientists and the head of the CDC at the time, who went on, by the way, after exonerating this Merck MMR product, she went on to work for Merck for a multi-million dollar salary. So the revolving door and the certainly the visibility and the possibility of corruption is so palpable that we are demanding that this come before the Congress, and it hasn't happened. It's been, like I said, our film came out in 2016. Thompson had already reached out to Congressman Bill Posey in Florida, who has 10,000 documents provided by Dr. William Thompson backing up this case. And Bill Posey stood before our Congress in 2016 and said, you know, actually, I think it was 2015, fall of 2015, and said, please, please, I beg you, we must subpoena Dr. William Thompson. One of our own congressmen begged the Congress, and they have refused to do it, which, again, people keep saying, Dell, you can't jump to conclusions, but you certainly have to have red flags when people start avoiding doing the obvious thing. And think about it. If you want your government agency protected, right, and you want to make sure that, you know, a lie, that Dell Bigtree's made a film that's a complete lie about the government and about vaccines, wouldn't the first thing you do would be to call this Dr. William Thompson guy in and all the scientists around him and show the public, look, when you ask a decent set of questions, you will see that this story unravels right here, right before your eyes. This is bogus. We just debunked it. They refuse to do that. Why? Because they can't. They can't debunk it. And that's why they're terrified to go near it. And that's why every citizen has to look at these facts lined up and say, why wouldn't they depose these people? By the way, Thompson still works at the CDC. He is still there on a daily basis, protected by whistleblower status, being trusted with very important, right now he's doing studies on the hepatitis B vaccine and on AIDS. So we count on this guy. This is one of our most decorated scientists. Anyone that tries to like think, oh, he's crazy, or he's been debunked. I've even heard people say he's dead, he's been killed. No, sorry. He's still one of our top scientists, and he still stands by every word he said.
Wow. That said alone. You know, look, we have to understand. I think people watching and listening to this, their doctors have told them, look, these vaccines are proven safe. Right? When you look at how much the safety studies that are done on medications, they don't understand perhaps that it's not done on vaccines. And is this true? That if a drug company does do a study on their vaccines to try to make it safe, or at least prove that it's safe, that it actually makes them more at risk for lawsuits. Is that true?
That's true. So we have developed the worst system you could ever imagine. There's not a product like it. We took away liability from the vaccine industry in 1986. It's called the 86 Compensation Act. Ronald Reagan signed it. And essentially what had happened was the pharmaceutical industry was getting so many lawsuits from vaccines that it was becoming, you know, not even a profitable business for them. And especially the DTP vaccine at the time was they were getting sued like crazy. Mm-hmm. And we also had parents of injured children who knew their children had been injured by vaccines, but were having trouble fighting the pharmaceutical industry in court for years and years and years and years. They couldn't afford to do it. So actually both sides came to the table. I want to make that clear that mm-hmm. on one hand, you had the pharmaceutical industry saying, basically, we're going to stop making all vaccines unless the government protects us from liability. And then you had vaccine injured parents saying, we would agree to allow that if you would create a system that would just pay us for the damages to our children, because you know it happened by vaccines. If you make an easy system where we could just get paid so that we don't have to ruin the vaccine program and those people with injured children will be funded for life to take care of those kids, then we can wash hands and say, you know, it is what it is. Some will be injured, but at least it'll be paid for. That was the thinking. Ronald Reagan was really, you know, reticent to sign it, knowing the dangers of an industry that time and time again, every time you've seen a lawyer saying, have you used PenFen? Have you used Biox? Have you used blah, 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 multi-million dollar class action suit? And they win all the time. This same industry that gets sued and loses all the time suddenly is going to have no liability if a vaccine injures somebody. So now that we have that in place, the industry has no incentive. And as you pointed out, it's even worse. They're disincentivized to do safety because in the 86 Act, what it says is not a doctor, not a hospital, not anywhere a vaccine's given. Everybody's protected, including the people that made the vaccine, unless they know about an adverse event that they failed to report. That's written in the 86 Compensation Act. So think about this. You're a vaccine maker. You say, so let me get this straight. If I do a study and find an adverse event that I don't like go out with pom-poms and say, yeah, it fails this way, then if I see that, I don't report it, then I can be sued. But if I never find a problem, if I never do a safety study, if I just basically say, look, it creates antibodies, it does what it says it does, and I'm not going to look at any of the dangers. If I don't do any safety studies, I'm protected from liability. Yes. I mean, who would ever design it that way? It's so backwards.
I mean, there's a negative incentive to do a safety study. So there, why would they do them? I mean, this becomes the cash cow. I mean, what are the comparisons of bringing a drug, a cholesterol drug, for example, to market versus a vaccine? And then, of course, you have to do hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars worth of studies on that and not this. I mean, that becomes a cash cow.
And, you know, Enbrel, a popular drug, I think is 6.5 years, and Viagra, 10-year study. When you look at most of these drugs, especially at least the first when they're a brand new drug, after a drug's been accepted, then they start using this game where all they have to do is compare it to the old drug. So you get that. Those don't go through placebo studies, but the original, like a brand new drug that's curing some new issue, like erectile dysfunction, gets 10 years of safety studies where half the group's getting a saline or sugar pill, and we track them. And they call it double blind because the scientists don't know who got what, the patients don't know, so that only the computer, when they graph it out and you start seeing some people had more cancer, then you can see, was it the placebo group or was it the drug? And then we know whether we're going to approve the drug. So 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, you look at the vaccine program, look at hepatitis B vaccine. There's two versions of it. One from Merck, one from Sanofi Aventis, or is it GlaxoSmithKline? Is it Sanofi? I forget. I got someone back there. But anyway, two versions of the vaccine. GlaxoSmithKline makes the second one. And the safety study, the trial, safety trials were 4 days long and 5 days long. Compared to years, 4 days, they injected kids. They looked fine after 4 days. They're fine. The other vaccine, 5 days, no placebo involved. They didn't compare it to a saline injection. They just said, look, they look like they're doing great. And they put it on the market after 4 days. Wow. And now I was just in at the CDC where they are bringing new vaccines online. The new hepatitis B vaccine only compared itself to Engerix, the Merck vaccine, that only had 5 days of safety testing. So now you have this snowball effect where every future vaccine is getting compared to a vaccine that never went through a safety test either. And then they say, well, look, it, there's injuries on both sides. And they're high, by the way. They're like 6% adverse events and versus 5% adverse events. And they say, see, it's almost the same between the vaccines. And then they approve it. But you're like, but hold on a second. If you compared that to somebody that didn't get the vaccine at all, they're not having 6% autoimmune disease and issues like that. The whole thing is so completely rigged. I could go, I mean, I do. I go on for days and days. So don't let me get too far off track. There's a lot to this issue.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I were a drug company, obviously this is the cash cow. You know, you can't get sued. You know, it's, you don't have to prove safety. I mean, it's the perfect thing. And if you do prove safety, that would be a bad move anyway. So why do it? Okay. So after vax, what's going on? Because a lot's happened after this movie. I mean, even some, you know, things even making this whole situation seem ludicrously worse if it could possibly be.
Yeah. So after vax, I toured with vax for about a year. We bought a big bus that had vax written on the side. We started having people sign their names of their injuries or their child's injuries if they were injured by vaccines. And there's, I don't know, over 10,000 signatures or something on that bus. And we continue to do interviews of people talking about their stories, which you can watch any one of them at vaxxed.com. You can look it up by vaccine. If you're thinking of getting a vaccine for your kid, go to Vax and just type that vaccine in and listen to the stories of injury from just that vaccine. It's a great tool. But the whole time I was on tour, the film is very focused on the MMR vaccine, and I kept getting asked, is it just the MMR vaccine that's right. the problem? And that is the question I couldn't answer. And so, of course, as a journalist on a journey, I seek to answer the questions I can't answer, and that's what I did. I said, what is happening with the rest of the vaccines? If this group, which, by the way, approved many of the vaccines during that time, if they have committed fraud here, are they committing it in other places? Or how are we determining that it's safe? Or how about this? Every time I hear on the news when they say vaccines do not cause autism, I know for a fact the MMR vaccine very well may cause autism, so I know that's a lie. But there's 15 other vaccines on the schedule other than the MMR that I think, well, what are the studies on those that prove that they don't cause autism? And when you actually look into it, and we've all heard it, we've heard it said time and time again, we've extensively looked at this. We've looked at this connection between vaccines and autism. It has been debunked. It is not happening. And so we are moving on. We don't want to waste any more money on this at all. And by the way, when you said they use that MMR autism study that's in Vaxxed as proof, that is actually the last study ever paid for by the U.S. government looking at do vaccines cause autism. So since 2004, not a red cent has been investigated into looking at this autism vaccine connection, which to date, every day, hundreds more parents are complaining that my child just got this vaccine, stop walking, stop talking. So it hasn't ended it. It hasn't ended the discussion amongst parents. But here's what's amazing. When I investigated it, I found that, did you know that of the 16 vaccines, they have never, ever done studies looking at the other 15 vaccines, not by themselves, not together. The only studies that have ever been done looking at vaccines and autism is the MMR vaccine. So when they say they've extensively looked at it, I say, really, one of 16 vaccines you looked at and you came up with the plural, they say vaccines, plural, do not cause autism. That is actually, my lawyer keeps saying, stop calling it a lie, call it a lack of truth or a, you know, an exaggeration. But that is the case. We have looked at one vaccine of the 16, and there's only been an investigation into one of the many chemicals in vaccines. Do they cause autism? Of over 50, you know, ingredients, they've only looked at thimerosal, the mercury-containing whatever, it's the mercury-containing product in vaccines.
Right, yeah.
You know, they haven't looked at aluminum, which studies now all over the world are showing that in mice studies, monkey studies, everywhere else, aluminum can cause autism-like features. And polysorbate 80 and, you know, aborted fetal DNA from, you know, DNA from aborted babies is being injected into our children. The list goes on and on. But So I've been doing that. I spent now almost another year and a half investigating the safety of vaccines. I've been working with Robert Kennedy Jr. Awesome. We had the opportunity to present everything that we had uncovered to the head of the National Institute of Health, heads of CDC, Health and Human Services, FDA, at a huge meeting set up by Donald Trump. And we presented all of the issues we have. And they were speechless. They had absolutely no response. I mean, just to give you a sense, you know, at the heart of our biggest problem with this is what I told you. We said to them, if the scientific method is to do a double-blind, inert, placebo-based study, why can't we find a single such study of any of our childhood vaccines? And they hemmed it hard for a while. And we said, oh, is there a website we haven't found? Because we're looking on government websites. We're looking at the pharmaceutical industry. We're doing our research. They finally said, we aren't doing them. And we said, really, why? Yeah. And they said, because it would be unethical to do a double-blind placebo study. Meaning, we believe vaccines are so fantastic. Even a brand new vaccine like HPV, Gardasil, that's trying to protect from cervical cancer in the future, a terrible vaccine, but it had never been thought of before. So there was no way to compare it to some other vaccine. It was a brand new idea. Can we stop, you know, cancer with a vaccine? Just like, can we stop cancer with a drug? Every drug would have to go to 5 to 10 years of safety studies. HPV went through 30 days and didn't use a saline inert placebo. So there's no way to determine how bad the injuries were if you didn't have a placebo group. And so when they said it's unethical, what they mean is we think vaccines are so great, even a brand new vaccine, that to deny a group of children that were in the placebo group this great new vaccine for a few years would be unethical.
I mean, now, come on. They get away with that. These are adults. These are intelligent people.
Right. And think about this. We're not talking about kids that are dying of AIDS that will take any drug or any vaccine. They'll try anything because they're going to die. These are perfectly healthy kids that will remain perfectly healthy. And in the case of HPV vaccine, until they're 30, 40, 50 and start developing some issue if the vaccine ever proves to be effective at all, which it has not done so far. So, but let's take the word for it. And what I say is this. I'm not going to get into an argument whether it's ethical or not ethical to use the scientific method to establish safety. What I am going to say is the heads of our health department of the United States of America just admitted to Robert Kennedy and I, and therefore you, that they have never done a safety study, an acceptable safety study on a single vaccine in the childhood schedule. There is no other way to determine safety other than the double-blind experiment. So it has not been done. So now when you have them confidently saying vaccines are safe, you have got to start asking yourself, how are you so confident? And the more I ask that question, and the more of their studies I look at, and the studies I look at all around the world, you get the sense and the understanding that this entire scientific process is one of the biggest human experiments of all times.
Absolutely.
And it's based on a foundation of wishful thinking.
Wow.
And that's all we got.
What's going on in other countries? I mean, do we see any evidence, safety studies, or just, you know, evidence epidemiological in other countries we can look at? I mean, if I'm a parent and I'm watching this, first of all, we're not telling anyone not to vaccinate. Let's make that clear right now. What we're telling you all is do your homework.
Right.
You know, that guy up in that picture, my child, you know, adopted son, you know, each vaccine he got worse and worse until he ended up on the autism spectrum. Praise God, he's normal now. But, you know, that wasn't the case when he was a kid. So that's why I'm emotional about this. So what's going on other places?
You know, we are one of the most vaccinated countries in the world. And a study just came out about a month ago in a huge medical journal that said that you are 70% more likely to die before adulthood in America than the other 20 richest nations in the world. Essentially, they looked at the top 20 nations in the world financially and found that we are 70% more likely to die here than if we lived in those countries. We have more babies die on the first day of life in America than every other industrialized nation combined. We have the highest first year death rates. We basically can't keep our kids alive. And so what I say is, you know, I'm not sure I'd be here. if we had the healthiest kids in the world. There wouldn't be much to argue there, except, you know, except for the occasional injury, which we expect. But when we have looked at, when we look at the rise in the vaccine program, since we took liability away, it became a cash cow for the industry. Yeah. And we went from giving 10 vaccines to now 72 vaccines in just a short span of a few years. And in that same exact time, we went from having autoimmune and neurological disorders in our children at a rate of about 12.8% to now 54% of American children have an autoimmune or neurological disorder. So I think that everybody should start asking the questions I'm asking as a journalist, which is, do we not have the best doctors in the world? Do we not have the best hospitals in the world? Why are our babies dying at alarmingly higher rates than 20 other nations? And when you look at those nations, you find that they are not using our vaccine schedule. Japan, for instance, doesn't even recommend the HPV vaccine anymore because they had so many injuries. Mm. They had, you know, they've done things like break their measles, mumps, rubella vaccine apart and give it out separately, doing things to try and make it better. And they don't have mandates to force you to come and be vaccinated. It's optional. You can decide for yourself. Sweden, the same thing. France. These countries all give fewer vaccines and don't mandate the vaccines. And they are far healthier than we are. And by the way, our numbers are so horrific that even on the doctor's television show, which, as you pointed out, was pro-vaccine, pro-medical, we would say this all the time. This is a medical theory that we believe now that this is the first generation of children in America that will not live to be as old as their own parents.
Yep.
So something has gone wrong. And if you want to sing the praises of the hospital you go to and sing the praises of the CDC, I will say in the last two decades on their watch, we've become one of the sickest nation of children and adults, honestly. We just saw a drop in mortality. People are dying younger at older ages, too. We are seeing a crippled and very poorly functioning health system. And at the heart of that, we've got to start asking better questions. Why? What is happening? And I think when you look at, and let me just put it as simply as I can. When I look at it, and this is a sort of a layman's perspective, but when people say, look, you talk about autoimmune disease on the rise, and it is, we all see it. We see asthma in our classrooms, ADD, ADHD, diabetes, all of it. The list goes on and on, multiple sclerosis, childhood cancers, on and on and on. Sickest kids we've ever seen.
Yep.
But they say, how do you know it's not the air? How do you know it's not the water? How do you know it's not the food or a combination of all these things? And I say, first of all, I think we should be testing all of it. I'm just focused on vaccines because I only have time as one journalist to take this as deep as far as I can. Somebody else better be looking at the glyphosate being spread all over our food, the fluoride in our water, whatever is in our air and our pollution, definitely. But when we talk about an autoimmune disease crisis, which this nation finds itself in, where more than half of our kids are going to leave elementary school and be on drugs the rest of their lives because of autoimmune disease, what is an autoimmune disease? It's your immune system is suddenly confused and is attacking your own body, okay? So I say, if we're trying to figure out why we're having a rise in autoimmune disease, shouldn't we really be putting the most focus on the one product of all the ones I mentioned, the one product that is designed to alter your immune system for life? That is what it is meant to do. So if your immune system suddenly has a hiccup and starts developing rashes and scales all over it, or is attacking the sheath and giving you MS, you know, or your muscles, or chronic fatigue syndrome, or, you know, all of these issues, we got to talk about the product that when you look up what it does, it tricks the immune system into thinking it's had a disease it did not have.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is it really that mind blowing to think that when we have an autoimmune disease crisis, that should be the first place we should be looking, that when the immune system got tricked, it messed up? It's really like a computer. It's so incredible how our bodies work and how all these little different, we even have microbes and bacteria and things living inside of us that can work with us or against us. If one little thing, and you know this, if one little thing gets out of balance, it can wreak havoc through your whole system. And yet we are going in 72 times by the time you're 18 and tricking the baby's immune system. I'm sorry. It seems so completely obvious to me what our problem is in our health.
We can look at the 50 ingredients that challenge the immune system, right? I mean, the toxins that you mentioned. But the other big problem is that the vaccines stimulate the wrong immune system. When you get a disease, it stimulates a type 1 reaction, which is a lifetime immunity. But the type 2 reaction is an immunity that is an emergency reaction. So you're doing it again and again and again. And you're basically teaching that body to stimulate in that emergency reaction, leading to autoimmune and other problems. You know, look, I mean, it's remarkable. Now look what they're doing with adults. I mean, look at the flu shot. Remember, this is a cash cow, folks. So, you know, flu shots, big, big business, right? So they're getting they're promoting adult vaccinations. What about our workers, our healthcare workers, teachers? I mean, they're mandating these people to get vaccinated, which is taking their profits through the roof. I mean, what's going to happen, Dell? Honestly,
oh, it's clear that that's exactly what is happening. What they're working on is the mandatory adult vaccination program, and that is coming to a theater near you. I mean, that's what I try to point out to people. There's a lot of people looking the other way because they say, "Well, I got vaccinated as a kid. My kid had to get vaccinated. That's fine." And then I say to them, "Do you do realize that you're about to be lined up and forced to get vaccines yourself?" And they say, "What? Over my dead body?" I was like, interesting that you would just throw your kid in there, but when it comes to you personally, you don't want to go near it. But if you go to Health and Human Services website, they've had this program called Healthy People 2020, and that's a mandatory, you know, full 100% adult uptake in vaccines. And yes, you are due for almost all the same vaccines your kids got. Why? Yeah. Because vaccines wear off. That's unlike natural immunity, which lasts your entire life. I mean, just think about that, Daniel. I mean, just on a simple level. When we keep hearing the science is settled, really? I thought it should be settled when the vaccine works just like if I got the natural disease.
Exactly.
I thought the vaccine, you would be done making this product when I never have to take another one of them. When I take one and it's good for my entire life. When I have to start taking 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the same vaccine, this is the only product where you're making more money the less it works. The less ability it has, the less it does what you say it does, the more money you make. So yes, you need an MMR vaccine as an adult. You need all new vaccines because all of your vaccines have worn off and people don't recognize that. And to prove it, these are test groups. Teachers are test groups. You know, nurses and doctors that are losing their jobs, by the way. Look at how many doctors are losing their jobs because they know the flu shot is baloney. They refuse to take it. And because they refuse to take it, the hospital says, you're not representing our values and we're going to fire you.
They're a private organization, so they have a right, actually.
There are people working in the financial department that never step foot in a hospital that get fired from medical institutions for not taking the flu shot. So that's it. That's bullying. And where do you think that's coming from? Do you think that's coming from the CDC, where they're admitting that this flu vaccine is only 10% effective? Think about this. They make nurses wear a mask. For those that allow you to not get vaccinated to work, they make them wear a mask, right? Now, the nurse right next to them got a flu vaccine. She doesn't have to wear a mask, even though 9 of the 10 nurses that got that vaccine will still be just as vulnerable to the flu shot, maybe even more so because her immune system's now shot than the other one. But she doesn't have to wear a mask. With 1 out of 10% effectiveness, those nurses don't have to wear masks. You see that this is just bullying. It doesn't make mathematical sense. It doesn't make scientific sense. This is all bullying and posturing by what is the most powerful lobby in Washington. And that's what I really want people to wrap their head around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pharmaceutical industry is the most powerful lobby in Washington. Of all the millions and billions of dollars being spent by the NRA and Exxon and energy, you know, energy is the second highest. The pharmaceutical lobby is spending twice as much. For every dollar energy spends, pharma spends twice that.
Wow.
And I think you should ask yourselves, why is an industry that makes drugs for people, that gets busted creating an opioid epidemic in this nation like we've never seen, that gets busted Merck putting out a product like Vioxx that killed tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people because they knew it caused heart attacks and they hid it from the public.
Yeah.
Why is that lobby in our government? Why are they so powerful? And what are they doing there? What are they purchasing when they're putting our politicians in place? And I would say it's not drugs. They really like this one little product they make that they can't be sued for, unlike all the other products. Yeah. They don't have to advertise the product because you're already mandated to get it by the government of the United States and the officials I just bought and put into office. And, you know, when it's all said and done, I'm going to just keep, you know, I don't have to pay for the testing. I don't have to pay for the advertising. And I certainly don't have to pay for any lawsuit that I can never be in. This is the biggest moneymaker. It's the dream of the pharmaceutical industry. And by the way, there's 250 more vaccines that are in the process of being approved. There's thousands of vaccines in trials as we speak. This is a tidal wave coming our way. If people do not wake up and say, you know what? I have a right to choose what is injected into my body. Right. And I don't care what the advertising agencies say from Merck and Pfizer and Sanofi and Ventus. I'm going to choose. And believe me, and I want everyone to know this, your right to choose. If you choose that's to give every about. One of the 72 vaccines to your kids, go right ahead. But if you choose not to, go right ahead. This is the United States of America. Freedom. That is about freedom. Yeah. And there is nowhere, there is no science that is ever so settled that is infallible, especially not this science that is clearly only being funded by the bad players in the move.
You know, and that's what worries. Say a word about herd immunity, because see, they can right now, we are protected under the Constitution of the United States, except if they can pull off this herd immunity scam, which they're trying to do, because they realize this is their only end around to getting us, you know, all to be vaccinated. Because if they can prove that we are putting others at risk, and therefore, for the protection of the people, we have to vaccinate everybody. And it's all based on this flimsy science of herd immunity. Explain that, because it's crap.
All right. Ask any chiropractor, and those especially that are like second generation chiropractors who weren't vaccinated and aren't vaccinating their kids, ask them what it was like to grow up 20 years ago. And they'll say, well, the school would say you have to be vaccinated. And then my parents would say, if your vaccines work, what difference does it make what my kid does? And that's exactly what every principal and every health official would go, that's a good point. And that went on and on and on. And so now the think tanks of the pharmaceutical industry sat down and said, we have got to figure out a way to get around this argument that if our vaccines work, they shouldn't need to take it. And they developed just recently, really in the last 5 years, is when they've really been beating on this idea of herd immunity, okay? This idea that it's really about the immunosuppressed child we have to protect that can't be vaccinated. That's why you have to get vaccinated. And so as though we're all going to school with leukemia patients and boys in the bubble, which, by the way, if they are that sick, they're not setting foot in the school, okay? Right. The school is not going to be, because why? Because vaccine shed. Your child could get infected by the vaccine itself that some kid... No, the flu shot. Bring back on the market a week. So, you know, there it is right there. It sheds. But let's get back to herd immunity. And let me tell you a story. I was in Mississippi just a few weeks ago, and they were trying to get a religious exemption for vaccines. They're just like California. They don't have any exemptions except the medical exemption, which essentially means you have to be injured first. If you're injured, then maybe we'll think twice about giving you another one. And the room was filled with about 150 people, and it was a health committee meeting trying to fight back the idea that they should run this religious exemption bill. And the health committee got up and speak, and head of this and head of that, and the pediatric association. And then I got about the science that exists around vaccines and religion. And then I said, okay, the big question that all of you are asking is herd immunity. Okay, you're really concerned that if you pass an exemption, that somehow you'll fall below your herd immunity numbers. Now let's look at the MMR vaccine, which requires 95% of a community to be taking, to have had the MMR vaccine to achieve herd immunity. Now this is what they say, 95%. Right. Then I brought up the childhood schedule from the CDC, which shows that adults need two more MMR vaccines because they've worn off. And then I said, so let me ask you this question. I want your honest response. If you have had your MMR booster in the last 10 years as an adult, will you please raise your hand? We have footage of this, by the way. And of the over 100 people in the room from the health committee, senators, congressmen, one little old lady raised her hand and had had her adult MMR vaccine. And I said, in this room right here, you are not at 95% herd immunity. You are at 1%. One of the 100 people in this room has had their vaccine. And that would be the case in every state capital. And I've said this in front of, you know, audiences everywhere. It is not about our kids. It's not 95% of kids have to be vaccinated. It's 95% of everybody. So every teacher, if a parent is coming to complain at this Senate today, which I said to them, then you are putting those kids at risk if we're to believe your herd immunity theory. You know, every time they get on a bus, every time they walk into a restaurant, when they walk down the street, they are passing adults because less than 50% of adults have gotten their adult vaccinations. And my point is not we should all race and get an adult vaccination program going. What I'm saying is we have been flailing in below 95% herd immunity, more around 55 or 60% vaccinated in this country for decades. Where is the deadly return of polio? Where is the return of smallpox? Where is a measles outbreak that actually kills somebody? They're so desperate to have measles kill somebody, but every time there's an outbreak, they're doing just fine. Disneyland doing just fine. You know, Somalis up in Minnesota doing just fine. And
it's in
so
the vaccine
you see
group, actually that the vaccine
right.
The diseases are breaking out.
Especially when you talk about mumps and whooping cough, and more those are fully vaccinated individuals.
Yeah.
So the vaccines are failing. But there it is. And I said to the room, and even literally the head of the health department that was in there did not raise her hand, gotten her adult vaccines. And I said, there you have it. I have just debunked herd immunity. Next, can we talk about something else now? Because that is the case. And every adult listening to me right now is thinking to themselves, you know what? He's right. I haven't gotten my vaccine. My wife hasn't gotten a vaccine. So this whole thing is just a giant scam.
Well, it's the scam that can get them around our Constitution and our rights, because this is about freedom. I love the fact that you have the flag hanging behind you, because it is. This is about freedom. I want you to have your freedom to choose vaccination. I do. I want you to have the right, but I want to have the right not to choose it. And that's what we're talking about here, you know, understanding that we desire our right to be free and to be able to choose to vaccinate our children and ourselves, you know, as I think a free country should.
It's so obvious that we have got to look at it like that. Take the word vaccines. And I just want everybody, even if you think, you know, this Dell guy, I don't know, take the word vaccines out of the discussion for a second. And imagine if 10 years ago I told you, would you live in a country, say Libya or South Korea or North Korea or Russia, where in that country, every year they take all the adults and all the children and they force inject them with whatever the state feels is necessary, whatever the state wants to inject you with? They don't have to tell you what's in it. They don't have to tell you the ingredients. They don't have to tell you what it's doing to you. But you, as a citizen born into that country, have got to get these state mandated injections. Would you live in that country?
No,
I don't think there's a person walking down the street, if I did a man on the street interview, that would say, yeah, I would do that. But so there's no difference here. So for people that think, and I live in California, there are people that think Donald Trump is the most terrifying human being on earth. And I say, and you want to give Donald Trump the ability to inject you, every African-American, every Latino, every homosexual, every Catholic, every Mormon, everybody, whoever's in that office can inject you. And there's nothing saying you're getting the same injection as your neighbor. Okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing that mandates that that takes place. Or there's other people that think Hillary Clinton was the most dangerous human being on the planet. And would you give her the ability to inject you and your children with whatever they see fit? And
no
remember
way.
Now that we just watched last year a vaccine program in Africa that they ran off with some tetanus vaccines that were being given to these women saying it's for your pregnancy, it's going to make you safer. And three different labs tested those vaccines and found out that they were sterilizing those women. That is possible, okay?
Oh, yeah.
We've already designed vaccines that can sterilize you. So, again, I ask you, do you want to live in a country where your state, depending on whatever lunatic somehow got elected and whatever their value system is or what they think of your kind of people, that they can inject you without your say? That is why we have informed consent. Informed consent came from the Nuremberg trials, which was the prosecution of 16 Nazi doctors. And once we came out of those trials, what we said is no free people will ever be experimented on in any sort of medical experiment. They will not be forced to take a drug. They will not be forced to take a vaccine. They will not be forced into any medical procedure without first them being told all of the benefits and all of the dangers of this procedure. And then and only then, they are allowed to make their informed decision whether they want to take on that risk benefit scenario. Wow. We are breaking the Nuremberg Code with our mandated vaccine policies. We are turning into Nazi Germany if we allow the state to force inject anything into our kids or our adults. And so that's what I stand for. I think our founding fathers are rolling over in their grave. We did not run from the tyranny of England and fight in a moment where we were outnumbered by the most powerful armies and the most powerful navy the world had ever seen. And we got a couple of muskets and torches, but they looked at each other in the eyes and they said, we will not bow down to any leader. This is a country that will allow people to raise their kids as they see fit, in the religion that they see fit, Amen. In the medical decisions that they see fit, Amen. In the health decisions. You can ski or you cannot ski. You can ride a bike, you cannot ride a bike. You can Amen. Do whatever you want to do, and you can raise your kids the way you were raised and the way you want to raise your children. That is America. And Amen. Now we are looking at the destruction of that dream.
Yes.
So that state and a government can come into your home and inject you with products. Wow. It is insane. It is insane. And it is the end. I believe this is the end of this dream we call America if we allow this to happen. If vaccines are so great, do a better job advertising them and prove to everybody how safe they are. Yeah. But in the end, you can't, you won't, you refuse to answer Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s complaints about safety. You refuse to answer mine, and you want to keep saying it's unethical. Well, it is unethical for me to take an untested product and inject it into my own child. Yep. That is my right to make that decision, and that is the right I'm going to fight for until the day I die.
God, I love you, Del. I love it. I love the message. It's not anti-vaccine message, is it? Man, this is a freedom message. That's what it is. It's a freedom message. There's no doubt That's about right. it. You know, in Vaxxed, it was a freedom movie. Look, where can they hear, if they haven't seen Vaxxed, where can they get it? And where can they go? Give them your website, because I want them to be connected to you, every one of them.
So Vaxxed, you can find anywhere where films are bought. Amazon Prime members can get it for free. It's on iTunes. You can go to Vaxxed.com and watch some of the other videos we've shot and buy it there. Where you can find me now, and I think the most exciting thing is I'm actually sitting on my brand new set of my weekly talk show, which you can find on Facebook. It's called High Wire with Del Bigtree. Type in High Wire or at High Wire with Del Bigtree on Facebook, YouTube. We're on iHeartRadio now. You can find it on iTunes. Every week on Thursday, I do a live show, Thursday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. But you can watch it. It stays up on my Facebook page anytime you want. And I'm interviewing scientists. The thing I say about High Wire is when I worked on the CBS talk show, The Doctors, we would always interview everybody beforehand. We knew everything that they were going to say. And then we would make the show say what we wanted it to say. That's just how TV's done. Right. On High Wire, I don't know very much about the person. In fact, I don't want to. What I want people to see is the questions a journalist asks behind closed doors. When we're trying to get the real scoop, when we're educating ourselves and figuring out what's going on. So the show is raw. It's real. It's real scientists, real doctors, real people talking about real health issues in America. So High Wire, that's the best place to see it and see what I'm up to. And then you'll see the rest of the websites as soon as you check that out.
Amen. Everyone needs to go there. Del, thank you. Thank you for being on. Wow. You know, this information needs to get out to the planet. That's what we're trying to do. So thank you again. Appreciate it.
Daniel, thank you for getting this information out there. You're a hero. You're out there on the front lines, and there's more and more of us. It's a positive decision. I am as hopeful as I could ever be because more and more people are having this discussion as they should, and I believe we win this because we are on the right side of history. The truth always does shine the light. So come to the God, come to the force, come to the people that have got the truth that are on the right side of the history, and fight for America's freedom once again. This is our time. It's our generation. We're going to make a difference.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.